Good morning. Welcome. We are excited. This is our first book picks of 2019. So good for you, James Conrad. You win. James is from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, and we are thrilled to have him be part of our program and to tell us about the great books that are out, that have been out, that are now out, that the holidays are out of the way, and all kinds of great stuff. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I feel like it's an annual pilgrim every January. I come up here to do this. So
We like your pilgrimage.
It's challenging. very beginning of the year. But
some good stuff is coming out, and you've got a great list. So let's talk about that.
Okay, let's start off. First is Year of Wonder, Classical Music to Enjoy Day by Day by Clemency Burton Hill. I can't really think of a better book to start the year out than this one. It's what it is classical music is always something that sort of scares people, I think, or else some people think it's just boring. But this book kind of changes all of that. And for myself, I was sort of fortunate enough to attend a public school that had a really good music program, and so I had classical music at a young age. And then later on in life, I had friends who would take me to the Lyric Opera or Carnegie Hall or something. And I had some decent exposure, but this book really shows me there's such a large world to it that I'd known nothing about. And it came about because Burton Hill, who's this classical British broadcaster, she was asked by a friend of hers who owned a cafe to make a classical music playlist for the cafe because she found that classical music made her customers calmer and more productive with their work. And so she did this playlist and in so doing decided, well, let's put this together as a whole book. And what the book is essentially it's a page a day, and every page has a classical piece at the top of it and then a few paragraphs sort of talking about its history or its significance to classical music. And it ranges from every type of form, from symphonies, operas, hymns, songs, and it even includes some more contemporary things that you might not think of as classical, like George Gershwin and even Scott Joplin, which is pretty cool. But the fun part is you can actually find every single one of these pieces on Apple Music or on Spotify. And so you can sort of incorporate the book on a daily ritual and basically find the piece, play it, read the few paragraphs about it, and sort of have this amazing world open up for you in classical music that you may not have ever heard of before. Or maybe you've heard of some of it, but you couldn't place it. And Apple actually goes so far as to put together playlists for every month. And so you can just play the entire month in a day. And I think my fellow bookstore owners should consider using this in their stores because I've done it in my store and it's actually been great for customers to enjoy it. But to wrap up, I'll tell you today's is Concerto Grosso in D Major by Arcangelo Corelli, who I've never heard of before, but he was a Baroque composer and he actually died on this day. And his main contribution to classical music was inventing this Concerto Grosso, which is a multi-instrument version of a normal concerto, which is usually a solo instrument, whereas this one has all the instruments playing equal roles. So that's your classical music tip of the day.
That's good stuff. Excellent. All right. Year of Wonder, Classical Music to Enjoy Day by Day by Clemency Burton Hill. Okay, next up.
Next up, we're going to go to a children's book, which is releasing today. It is called The Duchess and Guy, A Rescue to Royal Puppy Love Story by Nancy Furstinger and illustrated by Julia Bresciartu. I totally butchered that. As you know, I'm a bit of a royal watcher, and especially with women royals, so this book is just right up my alley, and it's the story of Meghan Markle and her rescue beagle Guy. She actually has rescued two rescue dogs, like I have. Meghan Markle and I have a lot in common, and that's one of them. And basically, the story is that Guy was a beagle at a pound in Kentucky, or no, at a rescue in Kentucky, and they moved him up to Canada to a shelter to try to increase his chances of being adopted, because apparently Canadians really like beagles. And Meghan Markle was there filming Suits, and she was looking for a companion for her older rescue dog. And so she grabbed him, and then the story follows in the illustrated book, which is beautifully illustrated. Follows Meghan going to London with Harry, marrying him, all of that. Guy has trouble initially fitting in with the royal family and all that, but he finally just learns to be himself and to be loved for who he is. And the book ends with all the specifics to his rescue and how people across the country can find rescue dogs and all of that. And I want to say Nancy Furstinger is also a local author. You probably know her from Catskill Creatures is one of her books. And also she wrote a wonderful book called Mercy, which is a history of Henry Berg, who founded the ASPCA. And she's going to be launching the book at our store next weekend on Sunday, January 20th at 3 p.m. So come and bring your dogs.
Oh, that's fun. Good. You know, I have to say, I know you may
I don't know. I'm sure you have people on both sides, but I love going into the stores and having the dogs there.
You know, I do too. And we had it come up as an issue on Instagram the other day on one of our posts showing a dog in the store where somebody said, I don't think they should have dogs in stores and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, I bring my dog to the store and a lot of customers come with their dogs. Yeah. And I'm sensitive that anybody's afraid of a dog. And trust me, we immediately rush the dog to the back room where we're like, oh my God, we don't want anybody to be upset, you know.
But yeah.
I don't know, most of them, they're all so gentle and nice that it's like they really have never seen any issues.
I think
issues.
It's cool when they come in and just kind of flop down. All right. Well, it's the Duchess and Guy, and, you know, who couldn't love a beagle? All right, let's go on to the next.
All right. January is a big month for making resolutions, mostly their health and cooking book related and all that. So my next is Mississippi Vegan, Recipes and Stories from a Southern Boy's Heart by Timothy Pecron, maybe. Anyways, a couple months ago, my husband and I actually went vegan, which was sort of an experiment, but we're still doing it. And people who know me would be like in shock because I'm the worst eater of my entire life. But we decided to do this. I'm lucky my husband Chaz works in the food business and he's an amazing chef and he enjoys cooking, which is something I find amazing. But, so I have it a lot easier to try to be vegan than most people would probably try to do it. But Mississippi Vegan is this latest terrific book that actually makes eating vegan like you're just eating normally. And what I mean by that is after I turned vegan, I had some vegan meals in some restaurants or they were cooked for me. And if I'd had them before I'd become vegan, I never would have known they were just plant-based because it's amazing what they're doing now with flavors and textures and vegan cheeses and all of that. And Pecron is from a region of our country where you'd never think vegans could actually find anything to eat, being the Mississippi Gulf Coast. But you think of that as well, seafood and pork fats and butter and eggs all the time. But he also points out that it's a bountiful area of farming and local produce, and he creates these amazing dishes with all of these. And he's a great photographer and food stylist as well, so the book is absolutely beautiful. But every recipe has like a little essay that talks about the importance of the dish for his childhood or the importance of the ingredient for the Mississippi culture or history. And so you sort of learn a little about that area too. And Jamie Oliver is a big fan of this book, which is interesting because Jamie Oliver isn't vegan. And I think that's significant because this can be kind of a gateway for people. You don't have to be vegan. You can just sort of look at this book and be like, well, let me try to make a dish I'd normally make, but do it all plant-based and try to see what that's like and have it as a healthy alternative. And this week, I'm going to try to take on garlic cheese grits casserole. I'm going to try to make that.
Ooh,
hopefully, it'll be
you.
As good as it sounds. We'll find out. But
all right, well, let us
God
know.
Bless us. All right.
and then share. It's called Mississippi Vegan is the name of the book. Timothy Pecron. Next up.
A couple of novels. Late in the Day by Tessa Hadley. I'm jumping a little ahead here. This book comes out next week. But Hadley's one of my favorite writers. She's a British author. That certain type of subject matter of like subtle family and domestic types of drama with maybe a couple little intense plot points to it. But her main thing is how she details characters and develops them and then has them interact with each other and the insights into their relationships. Her last novel was The Past, which was four family members spending a summer in their family home for the last time before they sold it. And in this one, she follows a different type of family, which are two couples that are really close friends in their middle age. And they met when they were in college. But in Later in the Day, I'm not really spoiling anything because this actually happens on the first page, but one of the four of them just drops dead out of the blue. And so it leaves the three of them kind of reeling from this and trying to actually put their lives back together and figure out their relationships with each other now with this missing person who used to be such a significant part of their lives. And I was trying to think of writers that Tessa Hadley reminds me of. And I was thinking of contemporary ones like Ann Patchett or Edna O'Brien. And I suddenly thought, she actually reminds me more of E.M. Forster of Howard's End and A Room with a View. He's kind of like Hadley. He'll take something that from afar looks like just a very simplistic little family dispute or issue, and why would you make a whole novel around it? But he fills it with such vivid characters and locations and scenes and has such, he turns a domestic storyline like that into something that's almost epic. And she does the same thing. So if you haven't discovered Tessa Hadley yet, I highly recommend her latest, which is coming out next week, late in the afternoon, or her last one, which is in paperback now, The Past.
It is Late in the Day is the name by Tessa Hadley. Okay, next up.
McGlue by Otessa Moshfegh. She's one of our most extraordinary and unique voices right now in contemporary literature, I think. And I actually was up here a few years ago and talked about her first novel, Eileen. And this, I think at that time I was mistakenly thinking that was her first novel. And just because it was such a like a dramatic like debut novel, and she sort of came out of nowhere and she was very young. But actually her first book was this book called McGlue, which is just being reissued today by Penguin. And it's, you probably were wondering, what would Mosh Feg come up with for her first novel? Well, it's a story of a 19th century drunken homophobic sailor who has possibly just killed somebody. And sort of in the hundred of years that separate McGlue and Eileen, it's kind of similar how they're both kind of these gritty characters that walk the dark sides of the same street, but just in different times of life or different times of history. But in McGlue, it's actually a mystery as to whether McGlue really killed a man. And the mystery sort of takes place in his head, which he actually suffered an injury from years back, and he also is an extreme alcoholic. So he goes in and out of consciousness and fantasy, and it all kind of mixes in with reality, or does it. And it's hard to sort of follow in a way, but she's such a lyrical writer that she pulls it off. And in the last few pages of it, I had to read like about a dozen times, and I won't spoil it, but it kind of finally has the outcome of whether this was a murder or not. And I actually tended to side with the idea that it seemed like it was the opposite of a murder, but I won't say anything else, but it would make a
great... What's the opposite of a murder?
Love.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I don't want to give anything away, but I think it's a great book for book groups because you can really kind of analyze just the last page of this for days.
Got it.
Because I really still don't know the answer. I have to read up on it more. But anyways, it's a wonderful read, though. And if you like her at all, I mean, her last book was Year of Rest and Relaxation. You got to do her whole canon, I think.
Okay, McGlue. All right. We've got about 2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minutes. Okay. Well, I was going to do just I'll just quickly mention them. A couple classics that have come to the front of my store just because of some stuff going on in present day. The first is Cain by Gene Toomer, which is reissued today by Penguin Classics. Reissued because of the change in the copyright law. I'm sure you probably covered this on WAMC, how they added on 20 years to the copyright law a while ago, and now it's finally done with. And so now every January, all these new books will be back with new editions, and you can do sequels, and you can do all sorts of exciting things with them. Cain is this amazing book by Gene Toomer, which is a groundbreaking book for portraying African Americans. And I won't go too much into it because I want to get my other one in too, which is If Beale Street Could Talk by James Baldwin. I'm bringing that to the front of my store because it's movie award season time.
That's right.
And it's a wonderful book. He's one of my favorite authors. Very quickly, it's a love story between Fonny and Tish. Tish gets pregnant. They plan to marry. Fonny is falsely accused of rape by this racist police officer. And the book is Tish attempting to get his name cleared before the baby is born. Unfortunately, it ends without any knowledge as to whether he actually gets out of prison or not. But Joyce Carol Oates reviewed it in the New York Times when it first came out, and she actually believes it's an optimistic story. And I sort of feel that way, too. The birth of the baby at the end of it kind of gives you the sense of, like, the next generations will have a much better society to be in, and life will improve for that. So it's also a good book for book clubs to talk about because it has that kind of ambiguous ending that you can talk about.
If Beale Street Could Talk. For more information on the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, you have any other cool things coming up?
We're a little quiet in January, so we'll be picking up more in the spring.
Excellent. And you can find out about all the cool things by going to goldennotebook.com. They'll keep you updated. Goldennotebook.com, or go visit them. They're right on Tinker Street in Woodstock. James Conrad.
Bring your dog.
Come on down. James, always a pleasure.
Thanks
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.